Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by HelloFresh and Eucora.
We are so excited to have them on board. Oh, God. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Robin.
I'm Jamie.
And we're here your hosts. We are.
I say that every time. You too. People don't know.
They know we're the
hosts.
It's
host, like my Jamie. Tradition now. Like, if I don't say it, you know,
but
like,
I feel like traditions are meant to be broken sometimes. No,
it's true. Because, you know, like, football players will wear the same socks or something like that. I don't know. You played sports. Isn't that
I
a thing?
I did. I was very sporty. Yeah. Well, you're talking about, like, lucky thing.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's my lucky thing, I have to say. And we're
I'm
your
sorry,
hosts.
Our poor viewers, listeners, for your
viewers.
Lucky thing.
Listen. See, you're lucky I said that.
And they're watching us in their mind.
Right.
Hi. Well, let's talk about our great news about we are doing a live event in New York City.
At the Green Space.
In partnership with WNYC at the Green Space, part of their podcast mixtape series.
So cool.
That sounds like such a professional thing that Jamie and I are often left wondering how we booked this.
We are a part of this.
But anyone who's in the New York City area, we would love it if you would come.
Please come.
Because we would love to meet you in person, and then you can see if, and we will shower. For this event, we
I
will.
Might actually put some makeup on.
I'm gonna, for sure.
Oh, geez. You guys have to come. Please
yes.
come.
And so it's on 11/26. That's the Monday after Thanksgiving, which I think is actually a good day.
I think it's a great day.
Because everybody's back from their travels by then.
Mm-hmm. Some people might have that day off, maybe.
I don't know. Well, if they take, they should take that day off, get a massage, and then come to our event.
Ooh.
Doesn't that sound like a great day?
And have a cocktail.
Yeah.
I think there's even cocktails
there's a bar.
There.
There's a bar at the thing.
Oh, so.
Which, I mean, you had me at bar.
Always.
So Monday the 26th at 7 p.m. And our guest is the, I'd like to call her a powerhouse.
She's a powerhouse. She's
dynamo.
Badass.
She's just, I want to be her when I grow up. Stacey Ann Chin.
She's amazing.
Ugh.
We are so thrilled.
I mean, anybody who's been on Oprah
honored.
Should definitely be on our show.
Duh.
So listen, you can get tickets. You can go to thegreenspace.org, and that's, this is the important part. It's green, G-R-E-E-N-E space.org. Or you could just go to our Facebook page and we have an event set up there, and that'll lead you in.
Yes.
You can check mark that you're going.
Yeah.
Don't put interested, because like I feel like when people say interested, they don't actually go.
I am a big interested person.
You do?
I do that all the time because I really am interested, but I also know in my heart of hearts.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
I'm not going to get away from the kids.
I know, and I'm not going, so I don't check anything. I don't want to check,
just don't
not
check
going.
Anything.
Well, yeah, because like not going feels mean. But interest is just like a pack of lies.
No, I like the interested because it just tells you at least, oh, that looks like so much fun.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just get in today's show.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Today we have
Liz.
And Liz, tell us about Liz, Robin.
Liz is sort of part of my family, I guess.
I know. I'm a part of your circle of friends.
Don't. Well, so Liz is a single mom by choice, and she used the same donor as I did for my oldest daughter, Maxine.
And they all know each other, and
we have a secret Facebook group.
I mean, I'm fascinated by this because, I haven't met a single other person
who used that
donor.
So we've got Liz on the line because she is calling in remotely for this. I love a good remote interview.
I love it. I love it. It's so fun. I love technology. So
all right.
We're seeing her face and we're talking to her on a screen. It's amazing. So let's pull her up.
Liz! All right, we've got Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hello.
Hi, Liz. I am particularly excited to have Liz here as she is part of my extended family.
Yes, very excited to be here.
It's like such a weird thing to say. I don't think I've ever said that out loud. That felt weird.
It is. It's strange, but it's kind of unique and I enjoy it.
So Liz, just tell us your elevator pitch.
Yeah, we always start with an elevator pitch.
Well, you see, I had a plan.
Don't we?
And life didn't work out like the plan. You know, I was in a relationship. I was going to get married and I was going to start having kids by 28.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. So I found myself single at 34 and no kids. So I said, you know what? I'm going to have a child at 35. And that's exactly what I did. On my 35th birthday, the following day, I went to see an IVF clinic.
Wow.
And I got all the information I needed and I did it.
Wow. So you knew you wanted to be a mother. That was like...
I wanted to be a mother more than I wanted to be a wife.
Mm. I mean, it's beautiful.
So my oldest, Maxine, shares the same donor as Liz's son.
Yes.
Wow. And they're about the same age?
I believe so. I think Maxine is just a few days younger than Julian.
Wow. Ugh.
Well, before we get into all this.
Wow. I mean, I have to say I haven't met a single person in our donor family, extended family. I haven't reached out, nothing. So this is all new to me. This is interesting.
Liz was like the entree point into it for me. Like I was scared to death. Like we actually reached out because we wanted sperm, because like an idiot after having Maxine, I hated being pregnant so much that I sold back our extra sperm vials. And then as soon as I had the baby, I was like, well, that wasn't so hard.
Yeah.
And then I wanted more vials and he was out of the program. And so I registered and got onto the donor site for our donor. And Liz was the first person that popped up. And I was like, do you have any more sperm? And she was like, no, but we're family. And I was like, I'm so scared.
Yes. I knew it was going to be tricky and different and maybe difficult. But I said, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there, introduce myself and build some type of relationship and then let Julian take over and decide what type of relationship he wants with his siblings. But at least I wanted him to get to know them, know that they were out there, that he wasn't alone. That was my biggest fear. I didn't want him to feel that he was alone in this process, that there was others just like him going through whatever the same thing he was feeling. Because I can't relate to what he's going to be feeling by not having the standard family that everyone else has. His was different. So I didn't want him to feel alone.
I don't know. Like, I think I had this real reaction of like, my family is me and Mary and these two kids. It's why I wanted to use a bank versus a friend for the donor. Cause I was like, I don't want someone else coming in. Like, we can't, like, if we were a straight couple, there wouldn't be these other random people in our family. And that was where I started. But then I met you and you were so like delightful and just like open and warm. And then I met another person who did give me a vial when I went to Bogota and she was so delightful. And then another person in Seattle who sent us a vial and she was delightful. And it was like, and then I just got more comfortable.
Right. Hmm. I just think that, I mean, you could open the window and then decide how much of it you want to participate. For me, I knew from the beginning I wanted to meet anybody that had any relationship to do with my son. And plus, I made that promise to my father. That was one of my biggest father's concern was, what about if Julian goes away to college and meets a sister and they start dating? So he was so concerned. So I go, no, don't worry. I'm going to pick an open donor and then I'm going to register him. And if he does have any siblings, maybe we can communicate and he will know that he does have these siblings out there. And then I'll let him choose what type of relationship he wants with them. And that's what I did. I never told Julian he had siblings. As I went meeting each child and each mom, I discussed it first with the mom. I wanted to make sure we were both on board. Do you want to tell your child? Do I tell mine? We met a mom. We met at Disney. We were going on a family Disney trip and she drove.
Like your first meeting was at Disney?
Yes. My first meeting was at Disney with one child and his mom. Julian was four. So he didn't understand the concept of, what do you mean I have a brother? But I told him anyway that we spent the day.
Did you use the word brother?
I did use brother. Okay. I don't think Julian will understand what sibling is at that age. So I did use brother. He did not understand where I was coming from. And I waited for him to ask questions and he didn't.
Yeah.
Had you had the conversation with him like before? Have you been like talking to him about the sperm donor and the way he was conceived? Oh, so all of a sudden you're at Disney. Oh, you're like, really? You're going to meet your brother.
Nothing.
And wait, no, you're a single mom by choice. He had never asked at this point about a dad or anything?
He's always asked me, when am I going to have a dad?
Oh.
So I've always told him, you know, you don't have a dad, but you have a mom, you have a grandpa and a grandma, you have two uncles. So I just went down the list of everybody he had, and I didn't concentrate too much the fact that he didn't have a dad. But he never asked me why until a few months ago.
So wait a minute. So you're saying you never had the conversation about how he was created until now?
Until now. He never asked, and I said, well, if he's not asking, it's because he's not ready to know.
Sure. And by the way, I need to clarify, there's no judgment in that. What I'm surprised about it for is because you were so active in meetups with other families that it's like, I'm sort of like blown away that it never came up. Like that he was just like, oh, these are all siblings, but it never occurred to him. But I guess it maybe just didn't make sense to him.
Even after we met that meeting in Disney, then we met, there was another mom that came for a cruise and was here in Miami. So we met at a museum for a few hours. He didn't get it either. Then we met in Disney. We had a whole week vacation and there were four of them, Julian and three other kids. Nothing. We all discussed that this is your brother. This is your sister. Julian was, okay, I have a brother and I have a sister. But then when we get home, he tells me, oh, they're my pretend brothers and sisters because real brothers and sisters live with you.
Mm-hmm. So do you think he thought of it almost like, you know, how like we have friends that I call aunts and uncles? Like he thought it was
like
that.
Oh, my mom is out there. She has a new friend and she's like, oh, this is your new brother.
Yes, that's what he thought. So you know what? I didn't correct him. And then we went on another vacation. We spent a whole week at Disney World with four kids, including my son and the moms.
When you guys were together for a week, were you watching for mannerisms, similarities? Were you looking for like, oh, that's like this person? Like, do you know what I mean by all that?
Yes, but you know what? It was funny how they just click. They didn't know each other, but they just, I mean, kids are kids. They click. Sure. They played with each other. It was fascinating to watch. I don't know if they have anything in common in the sense from like their donor because we don't know this person. Yeah, I think the smile, I think that all the kids smile the same, very similar.
Wow. So when he finally asked you about why he doesn't know, what was it that just recently happened?
It's not that it's a secret, but I chose not to tell people. So I only told my parents, of course, my brothers know, and just a few friends here and there. I think that it's not only my story. It's also my son's story.
Right.
So if I'm going to share, mm-hmm. I want him to let me know that it's okay for me to share his story as well.
That's so thoughtful.
Yeah. I was so afraid that he was going to hear something that he was not ready to explain.
We think they're not listening, and they are.
They are. So that was my biggest fear, that he was going to be somewhere, two adults were going to be talking, and then one kid was going to tell him, oh, I heard my mom saying this and this about you, and that he was going to feel ashamed or not know how to explain it, because at the end of the day, he's just a child. So I said, you know what? I'm going to keep this. The important people in my life know. My mom, she gave me the best advice, and she said it in Spanish, so I'm going to translate. She told me, do not cheat yourself from being a mom just because you didn't become a wife. She goes, just because your experience is going to start different than someone else's experience doesn't mean that yours is any less important. So my mom was the one, because I had so many doubts, that my mom was like, told me, don't have any doubts. If your dream is to be a mom, go be a mom. One day, maybe you'll be a wife. And one day, maybe Julian will have that father. But just the person that gave him the DNA doesn't have to be the father. So I went and did it.
Right. I mean, it's really interesting, because we talk on this podcast all the time about how we do this because we kind of have to, because you need sperm to make a baby, and we're in relationships that don't have sperm. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously from the start, it's out there. It's open for the world to see. Obviously we had to find sperm somewhere. So it's open. We have to be out about it. But in your instance, it's very, very different, because you're a single mother by choice, and you also have the choice of telling people or not telling people. Mm-hmm. And there's also, like you just said, there's doubt and there's shame involved in it. You know, like, it's a scary thing to do, and the judgment of other people.
You'll be surprised the things that I get asked. I mean, so a lot of people assume that my ex was the father of my child, you know, because it just, you know, it wasn't a much, I think it was like maybe a year. So
And did you let them assume
that? I did. I let anybody assume whatever they wanted to assume. And then after my son was born, that people started noticing that there was not a man around, they would ask. And I just started saying to everyone, no, he's not part of our life. He's not in the picture. Sometimes the story changed depending how many times that same person kept asking me the same question. Because it's like, if I've already told you he's not in the picture, why are you asking me how much child support am I getting?
Oh. You know,
does he come to visit?
Are these like
visit?
Coworkers or just neighbors? Or
neighbors and a few coworkers. So depending what day you got me, I would tell you, oh, I get $1,000 a month of child support. one day I killed him in a car accident.
No. What? Oh my God, that's so
you
fun.
Said that? Yes, I killed him in a car accident.
No, she meant in her story. She killed him off. I thought she didn't say she murdered him.
She said, one day I told somebody that I killed. I'm thinking of you telling a story of like backing out of your driveway and he was standing
there. I ran over him. But by the way, I can think of nothing that would stop people from questions more than being like, well, there was a tragic car accident. I was driving and I killed him.
Yeah, I just said, he died. He died. I go, he passed away in a car accident. And they would stop asking questions.
And then they stop.
Because if you would just say, no, he's just not part of our life, then they will say, oh, you mean he just left? Oh, you mean he walked away? But how could he do? And I just started creating more questions. So I killed him.
Isn't that crazy though, that like you said it once, you said it twice, and then people still felt that it was okay for them to be able to ask more. I mean, we talk a lot about that, about openness, and because we're very open, but I do think there should be a point where you have clearly said, I'm not talking more about this. And I would think people would respect that.
Well, people are so nosy, but also like there's a difference in our situations too, because people are less likely to ask us questions because
they're afraid.
It's the I'm putting air quotations up. It's the weird thing. Like they
taboo.
They're afraid to ask. Whereas with you, you're a heteronormative straight woman. People just assume with you that there was a dad and there was a, you know, and also like, I feel like there's so much more judgment placed on you than there is placed on us.
Isn't that weird?
It's so weird.
Yeah, like, why couldn't you find a man? I was asked that by someone that knew this. Why couldn't you find a man and do it the right way? I was asked that question.
What?
Yes, just straight out.
Who would say that to someone?
And I was like,
why are we friends?
I was like, well, I did have a man. I just didn't want him for my child.
No, that's what when you say, why did you use your man for your children? That's what you say.
Once they asked me, what did you see in my son's father? Because everybody makes a comment how much my son and I look alike.
Yeah.
So one day they asked me, oh my God, what did you see in him? Because there's nothing of him in your son. I go, his sperm count. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay. I mean, like, they'll ask questions. I think the biggest thing that I went through was when I went to get my son's passport. Mm. You have his birth certificate. There's no name in the birth certificate.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. man,
it's just your name.
Right. Just my name. And the man did not understand why I did not have a name on the birth certificate.
Right. Because men are slighted by this.
Yes.
They feel slighted. Whereas with us, it's two women. So they just leave it alone. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And this was in an office where there was a lot of people. And I'm here talking low. I didn't want, you know, like, nobody needed to know why there was not a man's name on the birth certificate. So I said, because my son doesn't have a father. That can't be. That can't be. There has to be a man in the birth certificate.
And no, there doesn't.
No, there doesn't.
No, it does not, sir. My son only has a mother. He does not have a father. And there's no need to have a man on the birth certificate.
Uh-uh.
But I was there, I think, 15 minutes trying to explain to this person that my birth certificate was correct. Because he told me I needed to go back and have my birth certificate reissued correctly. I just got so frustrated that I said, I just don't know who the man is. Can you process the passport, please?
Right. There are so many worse things I could have thought to say. So good for you. Like, I would have made up a story about, I would have gone to a dark place with the story I made up just to make this man feel so bad.
And
but that forced you to have to say something that made you look sort of like horrid.
Yes.
You know, like you were like sleeping around and you're not sure which dude it is.
Right.
And it's like that's so offensive.
No, I mean, to take it somewhere dark, what if you were raped?
Mm-hmm.
No, right?
I didn't. I was like,
what is it your business anyway? Like, I would have said it to him too. I would have said, just to be like, just to shut him down.
Yeah. And all this time with a 9 month old, because my son was 9 months at this time and I had to take him. So I was like, I don't have time for this. I don't know who he is. I just don't know who this man is.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me. Now that changed everything. He just looked at me like, okay, now we can process this.
Uh huh. I got your number, sweetheart. Okay, let's process. Ooh. So it is interesting. I mean, I'm learning a lot from you right now, Liz, that obviously, of course, if I had thought about it more, I would have realized, but there's a lot of judgment placed on single mothers.
It is.
For no real apparent good reason.
Mm-mm.
And single mothers are doing a real hard job. So
it is very hard, but at the same time, it's so rewarding. Wow, I wouldn't
be such a sweet person.
And in a way, you get to be the only voice. You don't have to like fight with your husband or partner or whomever to be like, I believe this, you believe that. You just get to be like, my way.
In my case, everybody's Julian's parent.
You have a big extended family.
Everyone wants to give their opinion. And sometimes I'm like, I said it was okay. And they're like, no, he can't do that.
I'm the mom over here.
Yeah. But you know what? They're so involved and they're helping me so much. And I'm talking about my parents, my brother, my sister-in-law. I mean, you know, sometimes I just, okay, maybe I'll just do what they want to do because they help so much.
It's good to be surrounded by so many people that help. I wish I had more people that help.
I don't think I could have done it without my parents because they helped me a lot. Now that they've been away for 3 months and that I've had to take Julian to school, pick him up, take him to all his activities, I've been feeling it. But the no weekends off, because I don't have, that's hard.
It's so hard. Weekends are the hardest. The hardest.
That's when I said, maybe I should have had a father there that could have just you know, switch. Oh, it's your weekend. No, it's my weekend. I don't get that, but it's okay. It's okay.
I wish I had an extra parent too to ship them off. Listen, the parents who have gone through divorce and have to share custody, their own hard issues to deal with too. So I don't want to take away from that, but sometimes I wish I could just cart them off to the third parent somehow.
Yeah, no, that has to be harder. At least in my case, it's what I say, when I say it, and how I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so you get the cuddles when you want.
Yes.
We didn't finish. I don't feel like we might have interrupted you finishing on how it went when you told him.
It was hard. I've been practicing for 9 years. And it did not go anything like I practiced.
You did role play
in your head?
I did role playing. I had books that said exactly what to say when he said this and how to answer this. And it didn't.
Yeah, because we've talked about this on the Facebook group. That's a very popular question of like when people are visiting each other. What does your kid know? What do they think? And like, when did you tell? That's like that question comes up. And how did you tell? It comes up all the time.
Well, yeah, I think I screwed it up big time.
Why do you think that?
Oh my God, because I was so nervous. He just came in the room and said, "Mom, how come I don't have a dad?" I started hyperventilating and I wanted the ground to open and just swallow me. But I knew I had to like
start stuttering.
Stay strong and come up with something because at that moment, nothing I read was in my brain at that moment. I couldn't remember anything that I had practiced or the books I read. And I'm like, okay, now what?
Jamie, I hate to go off on tangents, but...
Do you really now? Is that really true?
No, it's not. But listen, anyway, I have been thinking so much about HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this meal delivery service that's basically changing my life because... family dinners are now ridiculously easy and my kids are actually eating it.
I know.
Listen, and I'm getting HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling confident. The recipes are simple. Right. They're outlined. Jamie, there's pictures and step-by-step instruction cards. Like even an idiot like me can cook them.
Well, I wouldn't go
Jamie, mm-hmm. hold on. The ingredients come pre-measured. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all labeled by dinner so that I'm not messing up and I can easily see which ingredients go with which recipe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made this one pot orzo dish that was, it was so good that it was not right how good it was, if you know what I mean.
I actually do.
I mean, I'm getting delicious, filling meals delivered right to my door, Jamie, every week. And it's less than $10 a serving. Mm-hmm. And guess what, Jamie? Free shipping.
Robin, I know. I get HelloFresh too.
Jamie, why did you not say so? I would not have said all those things.
Folks, you see what I'm dealing with here? For all our hungry parents who have no time to cook, we've got a deal for you. We can get you a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes when you visit HelloFresh.com/OCT60 and enter OCT60.
That's right. You guys, you heard me. Mm-hmm. You can get a total of $60 off. That's $20 off your first three boxes if you visit HelloFresh.com/OCT60 and enter OCT60.
Yeah, that's literally what I just said.
Jamie, it's what I said. It's fine. It's fine. Goodness. It's fine.
So I left it very simple. I told him that, I mean, we had already had discussions that families are different because he was obsessed with having a dad. So he would always go around coming up with stories about, when he was little, I went to the park today with my dad. I look at the people and I'm like, what dad is he talking about? And then he would play with a toy and he would tell someone, oh, my dad gave me that for Christmas. I'm like, okay. But I never corrected him. I figured, little by little.
I love how you just are letting him have his experience.
Yes, I never corrected him. If that's what at that moment he felt that father gave him that toy. Well, you know what? The father gave you that toy. I'm okay with that. Sooner or later, you're going to know that your dad is
your mom. Ain't got no dad.
Yeah. Then so we've had already had that conversation how in his family, it was mom, abuela and abuelo, which is grandma and grandpa, and tío y tía, uncle and... Mm-hmm. And he would explain it like that because we were at dinner once and someone, a little girl, asked him, where's your dad? And he goes, oh, I don't have a dad. I have a mom and a grandma and a grandpa and an uncle. And I was like, at least what I'm saying, he's getting it. So that day, I totally was not expecting that question. So he came to me and he goes, Mom, how come I don't have a dad? And he immediately started crying. So I started crying. Because I'm like, oh my, you know, you see him cry, so you start crying.
Sure.
And so, you know, I hugged him and I told him, okay, you know, mommy wanted a baby and mommy wasn't married. So mommy went to the doctor and the doctor helped mommy get pregnant. There was this kind person that donated the parts mommy needed so mommy can have a baby.
Mm-hmm. That's the script. That's the straight up script.
You did a good job.
I was like so nervous. And then, he kept asking me if he was going to meet this person one day. And I said, yes, when you're old enough, 18, we can try and locate him and see if maybe you guys can communicate. He made me promise him that that was a possibility. So at that moment, I promised the world. I mean, whatever you want me to promise.
You chose an open donor, so that is right. The script.
So I did tell him, yes, you know, you and me. And then that's when he acknowledged the siblings, because that's when he asked me, did my brothers and sisters do the same thing? And I go, yes, their mommies did the same thing. And that's how come you guys are related, because that same person donated what those mommy needed. And then he kind of now understood why they were siblings. That's when everything clicked. And then he asked me, was this a secret?
Wow.
He asked me that.
Do you think he asked you that because he was older and more aware of the content, or because he was just hearing about it?
I think it was because he was just hearing about it. Because nobody in my family talks about that because it's not a topic of conversation. I said it was not a secret, that if he wanted to discuss this with anybody, he can. He can discuss it with me, or he can discuss it with his siblings if their mommies would allow it. Or he could discuss it with...
He can always talk to Maxine if he would like.
Okay. Or we could discuss it. Maybe we can discuss it with your doctor. Because at that moment, I've been putting away money for his therapy. Because, you know, I figured, you know what? I'm going to screw somewhere along the line. I'm going to screw up. Might as well save for his therapy session.
That's smart.
So I said, if you want, we can discuss it with your doctor. Who would you like to discuss it with? And he said, no, right now, only with you. So then I go, okay, so then every time you have a question, I want you to come and ask me your questions and I'll tell you as much as I can. So for 3 days in a row, that kid asked me questions.
What did he ask?
3 days, the same questions. He came the next day and said the same thing. Are you sure I'm going to meet him one day? And I said, yes, when you're 18, we can try to locate him and see if you guys can meet. And then he said, he did ask me if he can do it with the other kids so he wouldn't do it by himself. So I said, I'm sure that once you and your other siblings are older enough, you guys can discuss that and maybe do it together. But that's something you need to wait until you're older and you need to discuss it. And everybody has to be in the same page. Everybody needs to feel comfortable. And if that's what everybody wants to do, then that's what you guys do.
And the cat will be out of the bag as soon as the first kid hits 18.
Yeah.
Since we're all in touch in this group.
Right, right. And that's it. I think after those 3 days, the conversation has never happened again. He has never mentioned it, except to my sister-in-law. One day they were in the car and he asked my sister-in-law, did he ever meet his donor? And he used the word donor. And my sister-in-law said, no, I never got to meet him. And then she turned on the music and said, she didn't know what else to say. So she goes, I turned on the music and started singing. And I go, okay, that's fine. And then he came and asked me the same question. And that's it. He's never asked anything else about him.
Do you you have like the packet you get about your donor? Like, do you have the information about your donor?
Yes.
Like, we got a packet with like pictures and you have that, but you haven't shown that to him.
No. And I didn't show him the picture either. Cause I do have a big picture.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I never did it. No, I never did. I think it just didn't occur to me. I think we have like talked about like your donor is this tall, your donor has, you know, brown hair, like he's that, but we never showed the information. I figured maybe that would come later, but they've asked questions like maybe like, or they've said, maybe that comes from my donor or, you know, I wonder if the donor X, Y, and Z, but we never sat and went through the info.
Yeah. I didn't give him any information regarding his donor at all. The only thing we discuss is what I did to get pregnant.
So basically, here's the question. Do you get a lot of UTIs? Because it turns out you are not alone. Mm-hmm. UTIs are the second most common infection in the U.S. I didn't know this, but half of all women get UTIs, and about 1 in 5 women struggle with them recurring.
I know. And let's be honest here. Cranberry juice is basically useless.
So useless.
Yeah. And I don't want to take tons of antibiotics. So what's a gal with a UTI to do?
Well, I'd tell you to take Eucora. I mean, because it's a natural and effective way to prevent UTIs. Mm-hmm. It was developed using the best research available in collaboration with a team of physicians.
And Eucora has a unique formula that targets bacteria and enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, stopping UTIs before they can start.
I mean, that's fantastic. And you basically, it's so simple. You just have to mix it with water and drink it after intimacy or exercise or pretty much whenever you think you might be at risk of a UTI.
And the best part, it's natural and it tastes like pink lemonade.
I love how natural it is.
I do. Get Eucora and say goodbye to UTIs. Right now, Eucora is offering 30% off when you text OCT to 484848. But hurry, this is a limited time offer.
Limited time, guys. You just have to text OCT to 484848 to get 30% off your order of Eucora. Let me say it one more time, just in case.
Say it again.
OCT to 484848.
Message and data rates may apply.
Yep, you should always know that.
Yes.
Ding. I'll be really interested. You mentioned Julian, like you've said in all of your narratives to him, like you can ask the other siblings, you guys can talk about it. I'll be like right now, like when you go on these vacations or whatever, they hang out, or like if you're in town, we see each other if someone's in town. But I'll be really interested to see when and if they use social media to be in touch as they get a little older. Like, you know, would Julian, you know, email or reach out to Maxine and be like, hey, what are your thoughts on the donor? Or would you, you know, it's just, do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're still too young.
Yeah.
Because even though Julian has had questions for me, I don't think he'll ask his siblings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he's there yet. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable.
They don't see each other enough. Yeah, you know, maybe.
Exactly. I think that the times that they have seen each other, first it was they were a little bit younger. They just cared to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that once they're a little bit older, they will start having those questions because they are experiencing that. We're not.
Yeah.
So they can relate to those type of questions. So I think that they'll start asking, because I have a friend that did the same thing. She's a single mom that was in a relationship and the relationship ended, but she has her child and he's 12, and he recently asked his mom if I did the same thing she did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So he's coming around because she did the same thing. She hasn't reached out to any of his siblings. Mm. She just recently started doing it because she's seen my experience.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so now he's older and he's seen, oh, so there is someone else that did what my mom did, and he's questioning it. So I think that once the kids are a little bit older, they will, and maybe they will see each other and ask those questions that they don't want to ask us.
Well, what's really interesting is, I mean, I don't think we're up to like 19 or something like that at this point, 19 siblings, somewhere around there. But like, what's really interesting is these are 18 or 19 people that have, you have this really unique family, but these 18 or 19 people have the same experience that you do. And there's this common thread for a missing piece. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. That's why I wanted to give him that option. So he, so he would know, look, you're not the only one. There are others that are just like you, and they're just as special as you are. And if you have questions, who better to ask than the persons that are going through the same thing you're going through? Because at the end of the day, I know that he's going to have questions that he's not going to want to ask me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I'm curious, Jamie, hearing this conversation, you know where I'm going, Jamie.
I do.
I'm curious if it, how, we're, because Jamie's been reticent or nervous, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm curious if this changes your feelings.
I guess you could say we've been not interested in finding the donor siblings for whatever reasons. It's just not, I mean, first and foremost, I think it's because it's not really like high up on our list of things that need to get done. But also I think that, you know, like there's probably some underlying things under there for why we don't want to do it. There's fear. And, but I will say you guys are like the advertisements for getting to know your donor siblings. And
I mean, how delightful is Liz, right?
No, and Liz, you've laid out some really interesting points to me that I never thought of. Like what your dad said, which is hilarious to me. But that he was like, well, what if he goes out into the world and he meets his sister and they want to get, you know, like that's, it's hilarious, but also that's a thought, but I never really thought about that, but it could, I guess it could happen.
Yes.
And that it was important to you and it was important to your family is also interesting because it's a totally different perspective than I've thought of or heard from others really.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are like, you guys are kind of selling me on it. I mean, I got to talk to my wife about it because she's her own person. But it's just an interesting idea to get to know them.
Just remember that at the end of the day, you have total control how much you let these people into your life. Yeah. Just because you put yourself out there and say, hi, I have a child from the same donor as you. I'm so-and-so. You get to, okay, so there's another child. There's three kids, four, five, whatever, you can just leave it at that.
That's true. We have varying levels of connection on our group.
Yes.
Like I've never done any of the vacations, but anytime anyone's in town, I always say, yeah, let's get together. But we've never gone on any of the vacations.
Right, right. When I went to New York and I reached out to Robin, I asked her, do you want for the kids to know that there's any relationship between them? And she said, I do not feel comfortable. And we said, absolutely. Then we don't mention it. And I told my son, we're going to meet a friend that lives in New York. They have two kids and you're going to be able to play with the kids. And we left it at that. You don't have to meet these people.
Every single person has asked that question in our group before we've met.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to invade in someone's privacy or the way they want to raise their child or impose yourself on them. You just want to know that they're out there. And then once you know that they're out there, then you have total control of deciding how much do you want these people in your life. It's up to you. At the end of the day, you have to decide what you feel comfortable with. And I don't think you should feel pressure, but it's really nice to know.
She just leaned in too.
And we've changed over time. Yes. Like we have like after that, I think the day after your visit, we ended up telling Maxine who he was to her. Like the very next day. And then we started talking about, you know, what it means to be sibling. And then because for us, it was more complicated that they were so young and they had to understand that they have a brother and sister, but this is a sibling from a different donor. So it just felt so confusing. I didn't want to share it until I knew I could explain you guys both comes from us and your brother and sister, but these are your siblings. Cause we don't say brother and sister. We say siblings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how we name it just for us.
Well, this has been very interesting guys for me.
I will
and for everyone, I'm sure.
I will admit that I thought I was just going to register my son in this registry, sibling registry. I was going to learn that there was other families out there and that was going to be the end of that. Yeah. It never occurred to me that I would be doing vacations with these people. I mean, I just leave it light. And remember, it's only a few days, and that's the way I see it. It's a few days. It's for my son, and I go home to back to my life and back to our day-to-day, and my son had a wonderful memory to look back because I have all the pictures. I've created little books for him, with names of who, where they're from, where they live, who's each mom. And he has that. That's a memory that I have for him there.
It's making me think a little bit, which is good. That's
the point, right?
Yeah. That's what this whole podcast is about.
The one thing that's been nice is learning what other moms are going through. And when they go to the doctor and they're told, oh, he's like my son is lefty. I don't know if there's any other lefty. But one mom said that her son was a mouth breather, and there's someone else going through mold issues or something like that. I don't remember. Huh. But
yeah, all that. Everyone asks the medical questions. That comes up a lot in the group.
That makes sense. It'd be interesting to see if any other kids have that same birthmark.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be?
That would be crazy.
It was like the Harry Potter mark on all of the donor's children.
You see, I kept the cord blood.
Oh, you did? Yeah, we didn't do that.
We didn't either.
Yeah, I did, because again, going back to my dad and me thinking, what about something happens? I don't know this person's medical history, because you think you know, but you really just know what they put on paper. You're hoping that everything they put on that report is accurate, but you don't know. So I did keep it.
Yeah.
Hopefully I never need to. We don't
not
need to
good, not
but
good. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. It was, I mean,
awesome.
For sharing your life with me and my family.
Thank you so much for having us. And it's been great. We'll be in New York soon.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's, okay. Keep us posted.
Wow. I'm,
You're thinking about this, aren't you?
My head is spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spinning.
I'll be very interested to see if, like, a year from now when your kid is older and your life is less, like, chaotic, if you are, it's going to happen.
Is it going
to
happen?
It's going to happen. But if you are interested in getting in touch.
I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to hear what Anne has to say after she hears this episode.
What do you think? Do you think, is Anne on the same page as you, as she's not open to meeting? You're on the exact same page.
We're on the same page. Like, it's just not something that's on our radar right now.
I feel like that's a cover up for some feeling.
No, and it's scary.
There it is. It is a little scary. I was very scared.
And then I'm going to compare my kid and be like, Rose walked earlier than your kid. You know what I mean?
You know what's interesting is
actually that's not true. We won't compare like that. We'll be like, did they all walk really early? Because ours did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of more of how the Facebook group is used. It's just more like a mild Google stalking to see if they look like your kid and just kind of get eyes on them.
Right.
What are we keeping you up, Jamie?
Sorry.
Well, folks, don't forget, before Jamie falls asleep.
I'm not sleeping.
Don't forget to get tickets to see us live at the Green Space. Oh, God, I'm so excited. With WNYC and with Stacey Ann Chin on November 26th at 7 p.m.
Oh, God.
Get the tickets. Come on down. Come meet us.
This is going to be awesome. Stacey Ann Chin is badass.
So great.
Lady.
I can't wait.
I can't.
So get your tickets at thegreenspace.org. Remember, green is spelled G-R-E-E-N-E. Or go to our Facebook page, If These Ovaries Could Talk, and you're going to see it under the events section. You're going to click going. You're going to buy your tickets.
Yes, click
going.
And
then you're going to like our page. And then you're going to, and then when you're done with all that, after you've bought tickets to our show, after you've liked our Facebook page, after you have clicked yes to going, then you're going to go right on over to our Twitter and our Instagram account. Yep. You're going to like and follow us there.
And maybe write us a note and say, can't wait to see you in
and
the show.
When you're done with that, you're going to give us suggestions for season 3.
Yeah. And then you're going to go to wherever
to
you get your podcast.
And then you're going to pre-order the book we haven't written yet.
You're going to do that. But then you're also going to go write a review.
Yes.
A positive review for our
Apple
podcast. Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Spotify. I mean, listen,
Stitcher.
You're going to need to set aside a solid hour to do all the work we need you to do.
So, I mean, we do. You might as well, too.
No big deal. All right. Listen, guys, we have loved today with you. Jamie needs to go to bed.
I do. I always need to go to bed.
So we say goodnight, eggs.
Ovaries.
Goodnight, out.
Out.
Oh, my God. I just bonked my nose on the mic. Ovaries could talk, they would say.
Eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.